I'd be grateful for your prayers this evening, courtesy of your attention for a while. My name's Ed Wilson, live in Shawnee, Oklahoma. And I want to talk to you about some gospel. By the Lord's help, I have pleasure, frankly, in a service such as this. People make choices in life. I made mine to spend it among these people where I'm worshiping this evening. I don't regret that. And one reason is because I'm looking out on so many friendly faces, so many folks with whom we've shared so many things. Just not long ago, to a little self-disclosure, confide one moment, a couple of brethren, they're grown men, they were younger when our acquaintance began, but they're grown men, they're capable, accomplished men, were visiting with me a few minutes. He said, let's have prayer. Got through and he said, you've been kind of like a father figure to us. I'd rather be told that than nearly anything I can think of. To have that kind of connection with people like these folks are. Oh, there's another way to say it. Man's wife called me up one time, Roberta and I, and he said, I wish you'd get closer to my husband. He was older than I am. He said he doesn't have a friend in the world. Man in his 30s or 40s and never managed to make one friend. But the reality is there are a lot of lonely people in the world. And my experience is the opposite of that. I have so many friends. Such a blessing. Such a blessing. I don't know how people make it through grief, losing someone near and dear when they don't have anybody close to them to call up and say, I'm hurting, would you pray for me? I appreciate the privilege to be one of God's people, and I appreciate those who have prayed for me through the years. I'd like to talk to you this evening about a scripture that's found in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke. I want to talk about the Sabbath. Or maybe I want to talk about the spirit of infirmity. Somebody has to label these messages, and when I was thinking about it earlier, I don't know which label I'd put on it, the Sabbath or the spirit of infirmity, but I want to talk about both of them. The Sabbath is too big a topic for me to cover in one worship service, too big for me to cover in a lot of worship services. Might do a little better with the spirit of infirmity. At any rate, let me read to you, please, from the 13th chapter of Luke. And Luke says, he was teaching, speaking of Jesus, in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Synagogues were sprinkled all over Israel. Couldn't always go to the temple to worship. And it was Jesus' practice to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and there to worship with God's people. There's some real strange, strict, particular codes required in that Old Testament Jewish religion. Jesus was a practitioner of them. He taught a salvation that was superior to them, but he never, that we can find, just openly violated the things that were contained. For instance, a rabbi like Jesus was in that time, in his garment would have a hem of blue sewn around the bottom about this wide. And it marked him as being a Jewish man. Maybe you've seen the yarmulke that Jewish people still wear today, that cap on the back of their head and so forth. The different things like that. And there's a great many of them. Jesus said concerning that about the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, all that they say, all that they teach, that observe and do. And he made a practice on the Sabbath day to go to the synagogue. Now I have a gentle message this evening, and I want to recommend to you this gentle piece of advice. It's a good thing to give a day of the week to the Lord. Anybody can get in trouble once in a while and have to work on the Lord's day. Anybody can. But folks, the Lord wants us to plan our lives so that every time it's possible, we can be in worship services somewhere on a Sunday morning. The Lord's pleased for us to do that. I'll offer you an example. You remember Cornelius and how the angel came and paid him a visit. And the scripture made a point to say the angel came at the ninth hour. Cornelius was not at Jerusalem when that happened. Why do you suppose he said at the ninth hour? The reason is because there were three times in the day that the Jews stopped everything they were doing and they had prayer. And the ninth hour was the last prayer at the end of the day. The priests would line up on the front steps of the temple and they had their silver trumpets and they'd blow a blast out over the city. And that means the day's come to an end. And it's time for us to have prayer. And this was after the crucifixion. But this was a message to old brother Cornelius that the Lord's taken note of that. It makes a difference. You ever had a time in your life when you just felt like the Lord wasn't hearing your prayers and the heavens were brass over you? It's never that way, folks. It's never that way. You may feel it's that way, but he pays attention to what we're doing down here. I think it's fair to say if we could see it, there are more angels than there are people in this room tonight. And when it comes our prayer time, the Lord in heaven is pleased to come down and meet with us here. So, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. That's where he spent his Sabbaths. And he's about to perform a miracle. So I want to recommend to you, when you read the miracles that are in the Bible that Jesus performed, they are really what you might call the great bell that is rung before the message. Because every time he does one, there's something in it a whole lot more than just somebody blind got healed or somebody deaf got their ears open. There's a profound spiritual message, and the Lord uses the miracle to get our attention so that we can see the spiritual message that's there. So look in this as I read it to you, please, for the message that is there, because what the Lord is about to do with this woman is really just ringing the great bell. She's gone. She's gone. She's deaf, has been for centuries. But the message, it's eternal. It still reaches us. So Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there it is. Old brother Luke, looking by the eye of faith and the anointing of the Spirit, looked down to your time and mine, and he said, behold, this means it's important. Pay attention to this. There's something the Lord wants to get you there. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. In the congregation, some way or another, managed to struggle her way out to worship service. It was a Sabbath day and the Lord came to worship service. And it was Sabbath day, and this woman, bowed down by a spirit of infirmity, that's still the way she wanted to live her life too. She was going out to worship service. I got a piece of advice for you. You ever heard of the Wednesday night flu? We have Wednesday night flu over at our place sometimes. Feel good all week long till Wednesday night comes, and then you start getting a headache, and you get chills, and your feet hurt. And your lips are chapped real bad and you just don't feel like you can make it out to service this evening. And 30 minutes after service starts, you feel just fine and you can make your way down to Brahms and get some ice cream. And if you let the devil do that to you, he'll do that to you every Wednesday night. If you want to serve the Lord throughout your lifetime, you need to go to meetings sometimes when it feels good and it's easy. And sometimes when it feels hard, press your way on out anyway because the Lord is there. Because the Lord is there. Could be the ninth hour is coming around and the Lord is going to pay a visit. So the scripture said, behold, there was a woman. She had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years. That's a long time. Bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And Jesus saw her. I wonder about this. So many things in this. Lord help me. I wish I was deeper in the scriptures than I am. This passage is only in Luke. There were four Gospels. We have different ministers now too. And they preach according to the gifting that the Lord gives them. They're all different. We need all of them. They all show us different aspects of the same thing. It's a pleasure to me to see life through the eyes of my children as they've grown up. Oh, brother, sister, it's a pleasure to me to see salvation in God's church through your eyes. The blessings the Lord given you only add to the blessings of salvation that I have in my soul. So Luke is the only one. Maybe part of the reason is because he was not as direct lineage Jewish as Matthew and Mark and John were. And he was sensitive. Luke says more about women doing things for the Lord than any other three writers do. Did you know that there was not one woman in the gospel who was an opponent of Jesus? There are a lot of men. Did you know that as far as physically helping Jesus, women did more than men did in the gospel? Luke was one of those who noticed things like that. And he recorded this. Well, I have to think the Spirit called him to do it. But I also have to think that the Lord brought it to his mind because he wanted you and I to know about it. Could I say, to see the gospel a little bit through Luke's eyes. Behold, there was a woman. Spirit of infirmity, 18 years, couldn't get up. And Jesus saw her. I know what the Bible says. Is any sick among you? Let him send for the elders of the church. But she didn't call for Jesus. He just saw her. Jesus healed people that didn't ask him to heal them. All she did was come out to the meeting. But this compassionate, merciful Lord was not able to look on this poor, wretched woman in the midst without it stirring something in his spirit that made him want to reach out to her. I don't know if she was timid or shy. Maybe she was embarrassed because she obviously wouldn't look like everybody else did. Whatever it was, the Lord saw her. And the fact that he saw her drew him toward her. I mind a man in the scripture who wanted for the Lord to heal his son. And the Lord said, if you have faith. And he said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Have you ever felt that way? Well, let me tell you about Jesus. He helps people who have great faith in him. Yes, he does. But he also helps people who don't have very much faith in him and are willing to turn and look toward him anyway. He's a merciful, loving Savior. And here this woman came in. She didn't even speak to the Lord as far as we know, but he saw her. He saw her and he saw what nobody else could probably have seen at all in that time. She was obviously afflicted, but the Lord saw the source of his affliction, of her affliction. And we dare not challenge the Lord's diagnosis. It wouldn't do for us to say, well, she had spina bifida, or she had scoliosis, or some other human disease. That wouldn't do. The Lord said it was a spirit. And the word that spirit in this use, it means something diabolical. It means the devil's taking advantage of her. Jesus saw her. He called her to him. Can't you just see her? The synagogue was a formal place. Their services tended to be pretty structured. And Jesus did, no doubt, as he'd done other times we read about. Came time to read out of the scrolls. He got up, signifying that he was intending to read. And stood up and looked at the crowd. I don't know whether he taught his lesson first. Sometimes I think he just stopped in the middle and singled her out. Come up here. That would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? Now, she didn't know what he's going to do. He called her. Did I read that right? Am I reading what it say? Jesus saw her standing up here in front. I could embarrass some of you this evening, couldn't I? Well, you stop what you're doing. Come on up here and sit up here in this chair with me for a while. Some of you almost rather walk out the door in the back than you would to do that. And you're not even bent over. But this is Jesus. And he called her. And she come. You couldn't hide. Every eye in the synagogue is going to be on her, shuffling her way up there to the front, all stooped and bent over, saw her and said unto her one, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Well, I want to talk about what God wants us to do a little bit. We need to have public worship services. The Spirit calls us to do that. But I say in the fear of the Lord that helping people is a form of worship to the Lord. And He wants us to be as ready to carry that out as to observe the practices that we do in our worship services. Of course we want to sing. Of course we want to pray. But the whole function, purpose of every worship service is to help some soul somewhere. And any time we lose sight of that, folks, it doesn't matter what else we're doing. It's not good enough. We ought to have public worship services, but we also need to recognize, which the ruler of this synagogue did not seem to do, that helping people is worship to God. In fact, all proper helping people should be built on worship service. The two go together. And so Jesus called her to him and is in public worship service. And I want to say some things concerning public worship. There's a lot in the Bible about it. Jesus' disciples crossing a wheat field stopped to husk out a few kernels of wheat, something to eat. Pharisees challenged them. They didn't wash their hands like they're supposed to do before they eat, because that's some of their rules that they had. And they had reasons for them. And I mentioned, didn't I mention to you that Jesus was a practicing Jew? But remember what he told them? He didn't argue with them. He just said, one greater than the temple is here. The temple is to be honored with all of these rituals. And he said, I am the temple. Wherever I am is worship service. Wherever you and I go, brother, everything we do in our lives needs to be worship to the Lord. Working with our hands, driving down the highway, the way we speak to people in the drive-thru window, it needs to be worship to the Lord. Everything we do, physical work is worship. Everything in our lives needs to be worship service to the Lord. And yet, there is something sacred. When we come into an assembly such as this, and we shut the world on an outside for a while and think and sing our songs and think our thoughts and concentrate on spiritual things. And it is appropriate that when we have such a service, our focus is on the Lord. I'm not real comfortable with announcing people's anniversaries in the worship service. I frankly am not. Did you know Peter was a married man? What day? What day did he get married? No, you don't. Because it's not in the book. And why is it not in the book? Because that's not what he wanted us to recognize. Well, Peter ought to celebrate it, and I suspect he did. But to call a special day and say, we're going to change our worship service into recognizing something, anything, besides putting the Lord first, there needs to be a holy solemnity that rests on our worship service. It's symbolized by the spirituality that was designated in the temple. Those were sacred things. Well, this ruler of the synagogue had some of that in his mind. The ruler of the synagogue, this woman made straight, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because of Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. So he got upset about that. But I want to drop that and talk some more about the woman. I notice to you, as best I can understand it, there's nothing in this passage of Scripture that indicated she had any spiritual lack. She too was a Jew. She had come to the worship service. The Scripture said she had a spirit of infirmity and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. She couldn't do it. Jesus didn't reprove her. He called her a daughter of Abraham. And when he had done his work for her, he told her to glorify God. In cases where Jesus, for instance, a legion of devils, he spoke to the devils. He didn't do that with this woman. He spoke to the woman. Woman, he said, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. There is a difference. There is such a thing as being possessed by devils, and there is such a thing as being affected by devils and influenced, and they are not the same. I don't know how to explain it as I should. Lord, help us this evening. When Adam and Eve were created in the garden, they had moral perfection. I would call it a fortress. The devil couldn't, there were no cracks in the fortress. The devil couldn't get in. But when they did what they did, it made some cracks in the fortress. For the best of us, because we're human and we have feelings. And the devil attacks us by feelings. He attacked Eve by her feelings. Some people are more vulnerable to some kind of feelings than others. Some people, by natural disposition, are hot-tempered. And something stirs them and they got to bite their tongue if they're not going to say something they should. Some people are stubborn. Some people have a tendency to be greedy. It's something that happened in the fall. God didn't design us that way. It made cracks here and there. There is a crack concerning infirmity. There's a crack. How can I say this? Years ago, I knew a man. He was working on a job. His friends got together and said, let's make him sick today. He came to work that morning healthy and well. But the first man he met said to him, man, you don't look too good today. Something bothering you? And no, I'm fine. And he went on down, and the next one said to him, man, are you sure you feel okay? You're looking pretty peaked, don't you think? And by the fourth one, he turned around and went home. You can talk somebody into being sick. Or maybe I can say it this way. That happens because of your feelings. Now, that sounds ridiculous to you, doesn't it? But there are some people vulnerable to that, and it's not a funny thing when it's you. That can absolutely make you so that you can in no wise lift yourself up, so that you cannot yourself distinguish between what is actual physical illness and what's the devil playing tricks in your mind. I know that's true. A spirit of infirmity, in my best understanding of it, is primarily based on fear. People don't like to get hurt. People who have a spirit of infirmity have a hard time not interpreting normal body sensations as something worse than they really are. Get a sore throat and just know this is cancer, the larynx. And you can go find a medical professional who'll say, you got the worst case of throat cancer that I ever saw. And I give you, you might make it out the door of my office and you might not. And I've known folks who go to some of those medical professionals and they went in feeling pretty good. And after they got their diagnosis, they're cutting furrows in the ground with their chin because the doctor told them, you're about to die and I don't know if you can make it or not. And I tell you, that's not a boost to your faith. When that comes along. I know people have physical illness, but I'm talking about the spirit of infirmity this evening. And I suggest to you that it's many times based on fear, which is a natural feeling because people don't want to hurt. And to get a little stomach indigestion, so I just know that's colon cancer. My mother died with colon cancer, and my great aunt Thelma, she died with colon cancer, and I know one other person who lived in Nebraska, and they died with colon cancer. And I have symptoms just like theirs, except mine hurts on the front, and theirs hurt in the back, and otherwise their fingers curled and mine haven't. But you know the devil can make that sound to you like the most reasonable thing, and it gets to be a spirit. And it isn't easy to overcome. It isn't easy to control. This woman was bowed down under it. And what happens with folks like that is they get so sensitive to every feeling that's in their body, it just actually disables them to be able to do anything. Somewhere between 5% and 10% of the population. What do we have in here this evening? 300 people, maybe? that would mean 15 or 20 here that are prone to that kind of thing. Just gauging by the general population. Spirit of infirmity. And this woman got under this. And there's no, the Lord didn't charge her with any moral failure. She was a woman who came to meeting. She was a daughter of Abraham. She was trying to serve the Lord, but the devil worked that in on her, and it was going to take a power greater than she had to be able to get delivered from it. And Jesus came in and saw. He saw what was going on. Nobody can do that but Jesus. You can take pills for just about anything these days, but you cannot cure hypochondria with pills. It can't be done. You can't do it with counseling. It takes something that discerns between the soul and the spirit. The soul is you, these spirits, the devil that comes and whispers in the ear, you're about to die. You're sick. You can't go on. The devil get on your shoulder and whisper in your ear, and every time you try to do something, it gets real. It hurts. It's painful. This, the Lord said she can't raise herself up. The counselors today would tell you that this psychology is real. These people really are crippled and are not able to overcome it by themselves. It takes the Lord Jesus to come in and divide between soul and spirit, because he could sense when he got in the presence of that woman where the devil was. And how he'd been able to get through, I could never tell you, I don't have the words, what it meant to him. Fury? Sorrow? What the devil had done to his creation. He didn't design Adam and Eve that way. But something happened in the fall and it made cracks in them. And the old heartless, cruel devil, he takes advantage of that and he binds up people that the Lord loves and hates to see that in them. And so there was nothing else the Lord could do, I'm sure, but call her, come up here, I've got a way to help you with this. Nobody else could have done it but Jesus. And she came up there to him, and he did two things. Jesus has so many ways of healing. Both of them are important in this case. He said the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. He gave her his word. He said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Here's the power. Here is something that can break the stranglehold that your feelings have got on you. But this is a woman. I don't know. The Lord has special tenderness, seemed like to me. He didn't just speak to her. What it would have meant to this woman who's afraid to try, because when she tried to straighten up, it hurt. That's why people bend over, because it hurts. You don't walk hunched over for the fun of it. Nobody does. It hurt her. And that gentle hand, I know this hurts, but that gentle hand reached out, not just to speak the words, he touched her. That electrifying touch that's like no other in the world. And with his calm tones, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And not only do I say it, but here you can feel my hand on you. So as if to say, I feel what you do. I'm bearing your afflictions and infirmities along with everything else. Feel the holy flow from my hand into your body. And she was straightened up. Well, I guess that did make a disruption in the congregation, don't you think? These folks are sitting here in their typical Sabbath day services singing their songs and their dead formal religious practice. And all of a sudden this lady, how could anybody stop her? Start shouting and rejoicing and getting happy. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen it? All in an instant, she was healed. I know she had some practices to recover when she got home. There were places in her house where things were set down low because she couldn't stand up. And there were other habits, and I'm sure the devil probably came back and contested her and told her it's not real like he likes to do. But that day, she got it with joy and victory, and she started shouting and being happy about it. And you know what this is really pointing toward? It's pointing toward a sin-sick soul. Bowed down under the spirit of the enemy that you're not able to get out of by yourself. And you need the Lord to speak to you. That's what he came to meeting like this to do. to speak to you, to speak to me, to say to you, you're loose from your sins. You're set free. Of course, habits and practices bind you and addictions can affect you. But if Jesus is here, he's got power over all of that. And he comes down here to speak to you, to me, peace to your soul. And that's not all. I mentioned a while ago, I haven't seen this woman, but I've seen these altars. And I've seen people come down here all broken up and crying and don't know what they're going to do next and pray a little prayer and get some of the word of the Lord. And then it's almost like you can see that big old hand reaching down from heaven and touch them and the tears all dry up and the smile comes out on their face and they start rejoicing because they got saved. And the Lord delivered them and set them free. That's what the touch of Jesus can do for you. That's what he came to do for this woman. Well, the old rabbi, master of the synagogue, he's having his, how's he going to preach to the folks after this? He was having his usual Sunday services and the Lord came down and interfered with all of that and turned it upside down and he didn't like it. And I'm going to take just a few minutes here to point out to you what he did. He said, ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. He got upset because of Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, 6 days in which men ought to work, them therefore come and be healed. He said to the people, they didn't heal anybody. There wasn't one among them who came to be healed. That wasn't what they came for. They came to worship. His offense was not with the people. It was Jesus. He was the one who turned his little apple cart over, but this guy didn't have the courage to challenge the Lord. He thought he had more power over the people, and so he said, you go get healed on the sixth. If he could have been healing them 6 days a week, why was this woman still under the spirit of infirmity? But the dishonesty, folks, you cannot substitute religious forms and practices for the touch of Jesus Christ. If we haven't got that in our midst, we don't have anything. It's absolutely critical for us. Lord, help us. Or I can put it this way. In order for the incense to have an aroma, it has to be kindled. In order for our services to be the sweet fragrance the Lord wants to come up to him, we need the touch of Jesus in our midst. Nothing will substitute for that. And I want to suggest to you, friends, if you're here this evening and you don't have Jesus in your soul, he wants to come down and touch you. He is as willing to meet you here this evening as he was that woman. She had a spirit. She didn't know how to deal with it. She couldn't get free from it. But Jesus knew how to separate her soul from something the devil had imposed on her 18 years. It was deep in her way of looking at itself, at herself. Nobody was able to get that out of her. But the Lord knew everywhere the devil had tempted her. Every time she yielded some and let the feelings of being sick master her. And he put his finger on it and said in a sentence, thou art loosed. You can be free. I don't have the idea that she couldn't come under it again. The Lord said something about that too. He said if I cast the spirits out of somebody, then they go on their way and they come and don't put anything else in there. Those spirits will come back and they'll find it swept and garnished and they'll bring in seven more worse than those were before. I think that could have happened. And I don't know what happened with this woman. Luke didn't say anything more about it than just this. I have to believe that she got her chance right here. Oh, folks, I have to believe in Guthrie, Oklahoma tonight, you and I can have our chance for that gentle hand to touch each one of our souls. We open to him. So what does you need? What does you need, child? And here, I'm nothing but a dry tree, and I can't look into your hearts and see anything more than what I've already described to you as friendly faces. But the Savior, thank God. While we're here, he goes up and down the aisles to offer to anyone who listened to him, you can be loose from your infirmity. You can be loose. All in an instant, she got up and started praising and thanking God. Things got all better all around her. I've seen that happen with salvation too. And I know that when folks undergo that kind of experience, they've still got some growing to do. I know you've got some battles to fight. But folks, there's nothing like the touch of Jesus. When he touches you, everything changes. That's my thought this evening. I thank you so much for the courtesy of your attention once again. I don't have a song ready to call, but I suggest that we do stand and have a salvation call. Might be somebody wants to come. See if that hand will reach out to you. Amen.